Please be seated.
Let's take a brief look at Walk for Water. Walk for Water is a work that we have been doing for the past 3 years. But before I tell you more about it, my clicker's not working. Thank you. Let's be sure and take a look at all of the pictures. And here's why. Yesterday, I got my slideshow ready, and I said, "Hey, Sandy, what do you think about this?" And she said, "Well, I think it needs more pictures. People like pictures, you know." So, please look at the pictures. Okay. There's some more. Sorry if you've done Walk for Water. I didn't get you on the screen. I'm sorry, but these are a few of them. All right. Now, what is Walk for Water? It is a 4-mile walk to raise money to help people in other countries have clean water. Can you advance me, please? Thank you. Why a 4-mile walk, you say? Every day in developing countries, women and children walk an average of 4 miles to collect water for their family. Water is life to all of us, but especially to these people. Not only is this chore keeping the children from attending school, but the dirty water they are bringing home is also killing them at an alarming rate. On average, a child dies every 21 seconds. Now, make sure you hear that. On average, a child dies every...
pretty quickly and effectively if we needed to. So that was kind of the purpose of our trip this year. And let me see. Yay, all right. I can't read all the way that far back, so I'm going to lean over here a little bit. I want to tell you a little bit about Haiti just to kind of remind you of some of the things that people in Haiti have to deal with and some things that we have to deal with when we go to Haiti. It is on the island of Hispaniola. On the other side is the Dominican Republic. If you've ever been to both places, you know there's a huge difference between the two. Dominican is very lush and beautiful and green. They filmed a lot of Jurassic Park there, if you remember those scenes. Well, Haiti is a little bit different. They don't have as much greenery. There's a lot of dirt. It's very dark, and it's a rough land. Haiti is slightly smaller than Maryland, about 9 million people. The religion is about 80% Catholic, 16% Protestant, 4% other. But half the population practices voodoo. So it's something you're very aware of when you go there. Currently the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, with 80% living under the poverty line, 54% in abject poverty. It's one of the worst, especially even in the world. It has the highest percentage of orphans of any country in the Western Hemisphere. So you understand why Sunlat Children's Home is very important in the work that Roberta did there. The education ministry provides very little funds to support public education, so there's a lot of private education, and a lot of that is very poor as well. Less than 50% of the population can read or write. So we could go on, and I could have a whole lesson just on the problems that are in Haiti right now, but let me give you just some current things. Here recently in October, many of you know, Hurricane Matthew came through and devastated part of southern Haiti. They say about 500 people were killed, but in Haiti, it's very hard to get any kind of solid data, so it's probably well above that number. Caused an estimated $2 billion in American money, which was roughly one-fifth of the country's gross domestic product. So you can imagine how big of an impact that has on them, on such a poor country in the first place. This comes during an electoral crisis. Right now, they kind of got an interim president. They were supposed to have elections, I believe it was in 2015, but they were postponed because of fraud and problems. They were supposed to have some more elections, but the hurricane kind of took care of that. Possibly in November and possibly in January, they will have some elections, but you never know. You think we have it rough here, there. You know, right now, they don't know who their president is going to be. And also, there's a lot of just corrupt government in Haiti. Roberta had a lot of stories about situations she had to deal with corrupt government officials. So Haiti is still not fully recovered, even from the hurricane in 2010. there will always probably be need in Haiti. Haiti is a tough place to go, and it's tough for us to go and see people that are in tough situations. It's very encouraging to go as well. The goals for this trip were to provide medical care, have some church and children's home visits, and as well as assess how things are going after the loss of Roberta. So let me go over a few things, and maybe you can understand kind of what we came up with at the end. We got to ride several tap-taps this year. Tap-taps are just some of those vehicles that you can jump on in the street and go down the road, and you pay a little bit of money. What was great is that Widlord Thomas had arranged for us to have a few tap-taps that we drove around in, and it's very interesting driving around in Haiti if you've never been. There are no rules, so it's kind of interesting. When we get to the clinics, we did a lot of the things that we've done in the past. Eyewear. People are always wanting to get in the line for glasses or sunglasses or anything. Shay did pills, warm pills, stuff like that. Think about what Chad just talked about with the water, with the flooding and the hurricane and things going on now. Stuff that's in that water is just horrible to drink. And the wells that they have built there are very, very are being used a whole lot right now. And so when you get to where Shay was, those worm pills, a lot of times a lot of these people needed those worm pills big time. This was what typically looks like a clinic. It looks like chaos, but we have some order to it and run people through. There's always people at the gates. I think we wound up seeing close to 1,800 people on this trip. Doctors pretty much work out in the open in chairs and deal with patients just as they can. This year, one of the reasons why we had a security guard, this was our security guard, a very nice man, but somebody you didn't want to mess with when you were there. We wasn't sure what security would be like, especially with what happened with Berta. I think we really honestly realized that, you know, Haiti is just a tough place to live and be in the first place, so we didn't really feel like we were in any less danger than any time we've ever been there before. But it was nice to have a gentleman standing there like this to kind of help us. Now, one thing that we did realize is that there might be some cities that we don't let him dress up in his uniform or bring his big old long shotgun, because when gangs in certain areas might see that, they may be offended. So we sometimes had him incognito there just in case we needed him. Never had any problems at all. The people there are very welcoming for us, and they know that they need those resources, so we had no problems whatsoever. But it was nice to have him around. This is just a small little glimpse of the front gate where he would stand just inside. The line just keeps going down and all the way down the road there. Every day we would come in to see this. And so he'd stand there and he'd just kind of watch and let everybody know that he was there. And this is Scott Miskelly. Scott's been going for probably close to 20 years now to Haiti, and he knows a lot of the kids there very well. And again, the doctors just kind of work out in the open. Jesse Robertson, every group that would come in would get a gospel message from Jesse, and he also just took questions from the people coming in. And sometimes we think, well, you know, I'd feel uncomfortable going somewhere and trying to preach or teach because I don't feel like I know very much. You got to understand that the questions that Jesse got and that we got at the churches were very simple, basic gospel questions. We take it for granted that we've got really strong churches here, that we've got schools that we can grow up and develop ourselves and learn a whole lot of stuff. Well, there in Haiti, you know, they don't have those resources. So sometimes the questions they have are very simple, and our young people could easily answer a lot of these. So Jesse had a good time talking with them, conversing with them, and everything as well. There's Shay giving out some of the giveaways as well. Anything we've ever sent to Haiti has always been taken up within the first few days. Another glimpse of what it looks like at one of the clinics. We had a few little minor surgeries that were performed mainly by Drew Triplett, and sometimes it might be a cyst or something that needed to be taken out, but we had a few of those, and Drew brought his kit and was ready to go. And so, you know, I think there's just three pictures right there. But they have no medical care. The medical care in Haiti is just slim to none. So our trip there may be the only medical care they get for a whole year. This is Drew Triplett and his wife. And I was very thankful to have them, especially thankful to Adam Cross, who helped hook us up to get Drew and Paige. Drew went to Fried Hardeman several years ago, and he met Paige at medical school. Paige is a pediatrician, so all those kids that were there got to see a real pediatrician, which was amazing. Drew is one of the smartest guys in any room he walks into. He's the smartest good old boy I've ever met in my life. But he is extremely smart, and we were thankful to get him. I absolutely loved him and loved him when he was at Fried Hardeman, but we were thankful to Adam to help us get Drew. Oh, there we go. Show you a couple of pictures here. Anthony and I were the lead guys that led people in different places, and for my mental ability, that was perfect, but it's not easy leading all these people through the clinics, and Anthony and I would stand all day long in the hot sun and try to get people where they needed to be, and Anthony did a whole lot better job than I did. But even if you feel like, oh, I don't have any medical skills, that's great. We need people to go and to help get people through, because, again, 1,800 people through a clinic is a lot. We also did a lot of church and children's home visits. This right here is the dad at the Sunlight Children's Home. He's very involved in the churches. You've got to be ready when you go to the churches in Haiti. You never know what you're going to be doing. You may think you're going in maybe teaching one class, and you wind up doing everything at that church service. So we broke up into three different churches. Jesse Robertson and I went to one. And Jesse got to preach, but also there's a picture here. They wanted us both to teach class when we got there. So you can tell Jesse's having a class back behind me, and I'm having a class on this side. It's just what you do in Haiti. You make do with what you have. And it was interesting because I got about halfway through my lesson, and then a gentleman came up behind me, tapped me on the shoulder, and said, "We've got about 10 minutes. Open it up to questions." And I thought, well, okay, I wasn't even through my lesson, but I thought, that's fine. Again, the questions that were asked were very simple, basic gospel questions. And if you ever go there, or if you even go somewhere else, just realize you can answer these questions and help spread the gospel to people, even if you don't feel like, well, I can't tell them about Revelation, or I can't tell them about this doctrine. The simple, basic gospel of Jesus Christ can be carried by anybody in this room. I will tell you one question that was interesting that I got asked, and it surprised me a little bit and took me back, but it showed how big Catholicism was in that area. One of the gentlemen stood up, and through the interpreter, we were trying to figure out what his question was, and he said, essentially, can we party and have a good time on the weekend, which is essentially sin, because we're going to get forgiveness on Sunday? Well, David Novak got my reaction to that question, I think. And took me a second. But again, you know, we know the answers to those questions, that God wants our full heart. He wants our full devotion, not just an excuse to go and get forgiveness for things. Great experience going out to the churches. And I did want to show a picture of Widlord Thomas, and I'll talk about him in just a minute. He is very active in the churches down there as well, and this is him baptizing somebody. That wasn't when we were there, but amazing guy. In the evenings, we got a chance to have devotional at the facility that we stayed in. On this night, we got to have the kids with us, which was so much fun, from the Sunlight Children's Home. And if you've never been there, those kids, oh, man, they'll just light up your world. We did get a chance to have the doctors see them as well, just spend a day with them. And as the doctors went through and checked them out, we got to play with them afterwards and have devotional with them. And they got to see a real pediatrician, which was great to have Paige there. And here's the kids from the Sunlight Children's Home. At night on Sunday evening, we got to go out there. Shay had food ready for them and fed them, and we got to have a devotional out there as well. And I didn't mean to put Scott in here like that. He may or may not be praying, I'm not sure. But one of the things about that night, though, is that it was very emotional for several that went there. This was the first time Minnie had been there since Roberta had passed away. So it was tough to be there that night. But that was our group right there that went. I do want to say one thing about these two men. The questions that we had about going there were answered by these two men. I'm going to butcher his name, but I'm going to try and say it. The man on the right, his name is Martiel Vissier. Good old boy from Alabama, doesn't need to be saying French Creole names. But and then on the right, I mean on the left, is Woodlord Thomas. Woodlord takes care of the facility where we stayed. He also helped set up all of the transportation, helped set up all the clinics and the churches, helped set up the church visits that we went to. Not one thing was different. Not one ball got dropped in any of that when we were there. So that helped answer that question. Can we still go back and function in the way we did? Absolutely, yes. Sunlight Children's Home. The gentleman on the right, he's the dad out there. He's got a background in law enforcement, and he was with us quite a bit, and he seemed to be a pretty impressive gentleman. And the kids there are taken care of and well-loved. And so a lot of the questions that we had were answered by these two men and what we saw, not what we asked them, but what we saw. And is there a difference now that Roberta is not there? Absolutely. But has God's work ended in Haiti? Absolutely not. Thank you.
I think we can all agree that we've been greatly encouraged today, not only from the philosophical basis of missions, but the practical aspect of how it has been able to impact a lot of people and how it helps us as we are trying to follow in that mission activity. You know, our commitment this year and our theme has been to being better. The word better has been prominently displayed in every quarter of our Bible reading. And I thought that in a recent reading that we had in Hebrews kind of encapsulates some of the things that we've been talking about today. For example, in Hebrews chapter 6, we'll notice that there's a stern message that the writer is giving, and then it's followed up by a very loving message to the same audience. The author says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God with instruction about ablutions, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." And then down in verse 9, he goes to the other side of that. "Though we speak thus, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things that belong to salvation. For God is not so unjust as to overlook your work and the love which you show for his sake in serving the saints as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness in realizing the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." You see, there was a desire for us to progress in the Christian life, to mature. I don't know whether there is a better way to mature in the Christian life than to participate in missions. Most people that go on mission trips feel like that they get more out of that trip and they've grown more spiritually than maybe they've been able to help someone else. But that's a way of growing in the Christian life. So as one matures, he gains more knowledge of facts and of what Christ wants us to do. But he also sees more significance to the facts of Christianity. And so it is said that the Englishman Cromwell had in his pocket Bible the inscription in Latin that he who ceases to be better ceases to be good. When the writer, though, goes to that loving message, he's saying that even though they are not progressing, some of them are not progressing as they should, not maturing as they should, He still calls them beloved because he knows that there is something that we can gain if we don't quit. There's a statement in this passage that says that each one of you, the idea that every individual is important, that it's not just the congregation, not just the church universally, not just the congregation locally, but each individual is helped by their maturing in Christ and participating in these mission efforts. So we can falter, but we don't quit. And we can be imitators of those who we've seen through faith and patience inherited the promise. So, whatever stage we're in our Christian growth, we can see a way to get better. We can see a way to do better. And the emphasis today on missions helps us to know that the very foundation of our being able to do mission work is for our own hearts to be right. And so we would ask you today to consider, where do you stand today? Do you need to start that journey by being baptized into Christ? Or have you faltered along the way and need to come back? Or do we all need to be encouraged to be a little bit better? We urge you to come now as we stand and sing.
I can hear my Savior.